Well, we have the privilege of having Bill Collette of the Gideons here with us this morning. And Bill is a retired airline captain. And believe it or not, on his last flight that he ever flew as a captain, in the cockpit with him was our very own Greg Tyler. Small world. Bill has been with the Gideons for many years and has served in many different positions. He presently serves as the secretary of the Wentzville camp. And as you might not know, the Gideons have an active ministry in 190 countries. And so we've asked Bill this morning to come and share with us the great work that the Gideons are doing. So please help me welcome Bill Collette.
Bless the Lord. What a joy and a blessing it is to be here this morning. Let me ask you, what is the worth of a single human soul? I think our Lord put it in perspective when he said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? There is no price on a human soul. It's priceless. Did you know that every day across the continent of Africa, more than 10,000 souls come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? In India, every day, more than 10,000 souls come to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that in China, there's such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that as many as 20,000 souls every day come to a knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a wondrous work. It's been revealed recently out of the Islamic world that they're complaining because in the last few years, 10 million Muslims have turned to Christianity. Praise God. This is a sovereign work of God. God is moving upon the face of the earth, and it's truly exciting. I've never in my life felt such excitement. This is the most wonderful time in the history of the world to be a Christian and to be involved in the Lord's work. This is the heart's call, if you will, of the Gideon ministry, is that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard his call, which was given the day he ascended. He said, you're to go and be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea, through Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. You're to take the message of the gospel and proclaim the good news around the world. And that's what we as Gideons have set to do. Gideons are business and professional men, Christian business and professional men, whose heart is determined to take the word of God to men and women, boys and girls, in every land around the world. It's a wonderful responsibility, and I'm never cease to be amazed that God would involve me or any of us really in this work that he's doing around the world. And so I'm deeply humbled by the privilege that God has laid upon me to be involved in this ministry and to teach Sunday school and everything else that he's allowed me to do. And as I look back over my life, I can see his hand on me, literally bringing me to this day and this morning. And I give him all the praise and all the glory. What a wonderful God we serve. Did you know that in the city of St. Louis, there are over 500 churches? Of course, they're almost all minority churches, and most of them are very small. And you would think that over the years with that many churches that there would be a great revival in St. Louis, that there wouldn't be crime and drugs and violence and all the problems that are there. And we in the Gideons have prayed about that for many years ourselves, that a mighty revival would sweep through St. Louis. A few years ago in Ought 7, isn't that fun? Ought 7. The Gideons began working with the pastors in the center city in St. Louis. We wanted to know what we could do to help them and reach out to them and meet the needs in their community, because these are good, godly men, and they are obviously praying men, but there was something missing in the dynamic there in St. Louis. And so working together with them for over a year, we planned a great scripture blitz for St. Louis. And finally, in September of '08, more than 100 Gideons from around the central part of the states and a local area here worked together with the pastors and elders and bishops in the city center of St. Louis. And in one four-day weekend, we distributed 102,000 copies of God's Word in the city of St. Louis. And we pray continually that every one of those will produce much fruit. And I'm looking for a great work to be done. And we followed that up again last September. Another four-day blitz. It wasn't quite as big a turnout, but we still distributed 60,000 copies of God's Word. And these went to schools, both private and public school. Now, we can't go in the public schools, as you well know. But in a city environment where the buses are on the public streets or the kids walk to school, we have the freedom to stand on the sidewalks and pass out testaments as the children come to and from school. So that is truly a blessing. We went to all the hospitals and hotels and places that you find Gideon Bibles, hotels and motels, doctor's offices. We went to the prisons and jails and saw that men there. And I want you to join with each of us that are Gideons to intercede before God that every one of these scriptures in the last two scripture blitzes in St. Louis will transform that city, that the crime and the drugs and the sexual immorality that goes on unwed mothers, that this city will be healed and that people will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those pastors in the city center were brokenhearted because they've lost two or three generations of young men and young women. So pray for that. Gideons are men and women of prayer. Another example of the efficacy of prayer, if you will. And let me just say that prayer is that spiritual dynamic that God has chosen to work in the affairs of men. In the Philippines, a number of years back, the Gideons there wanted to take God's word to every school child in the whole nation. And they prayed long and hard because they wanted to do it under the law and according to God's leading. And finally, they were led to go to the Minister of Education in the Philippines there in Manila. And when they entered his office and explained to him what were there, he was really excited. He says, absolutely. Hadn't the Holy Spirit gone before? Praise God. He said, we want you to give a testament to every child in this country. And so for several years now, they've been involved in doing that, taking the word of God to people in the land. Gideons are men and women of the word of God. And I have to tell you that I came to the Lord Jesus Christ through reading the Holy Word. I had lived my life and was set out to accomplish certain goals. And by the time I was 30 years old, I had accomplished the life goals I'd set out. And so I was kind of at loose ends, and I was leading a life that was not pleasing to God, needless to say. And one of my Christian friends challenged me to read the Word of God. And I went out and bought a new Bible and started reading it. And bless, it didn't take long before God got a hold of me. And that was 38 years ago. Praise God. And so I know the power of God's word. God told Isaiah, he said, the word that goes forth from my mouth shall not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I intend for it to. And that's kind of the home scripture, if you will, of the Gideons. Gideons are also men and women who witness. And this is one of the real joys and blessings. Since I've been a Gideon, we joined together every Saturday morning for prayer. And for those of you that don't have a men's fellowship and a time of prayer, every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, we join together for prayer. And then those that are able at 7:30, you can stay and have breakfast. We can do that. But if you have something else, you can go on. This has been one of the real growth periods in my life in the last 8 years. And I haven't missed a prayer Saturday for many. There's very few, less than a handful of days in the last 8 years have I missed a Saturday, because it's just that ministry that I feel is critical to my spiritual growth and the growth of the Gideon ministry. In addition to that, when I became a Gideon, They have a Bible reading schedule, if you will. There's scripture verses to read every day, and if you do that for a year, you'll have read the whole Word of God. And I have to tell you that in the 30 years preceding my becoming a Gideon, I'd read most of the Bibles, but I had never been too disciplined about it. And since that time, I've read through the Word of God 8 times, and I have grown immensely in that time. And so I encourage you to do that too. If you dedicate yourself to studying God's Word, you're going to find yourself growing and maturing in His Word, because His words are life and light and wisdom and grace and truth, and everything that is good in the kingdom of God comes through His Word. And so I can't encourage you enough to take part in that. John and it's Jim. Jim and Peggy were like so many American couples. Their marriage had literally fallen apart. They fought and squabbled all the time, and they were living separately. And so they decided that they would make another attempt at reconciliation, and they decided to meet at a hotel and rent a couple of rooms, and then they'd meet for dinner and talk over their problems. And they tried that, and the old problems were there. And they went back to their rooms, and the next morning they got up and went their separate way. About 2 months later, Jim called Peggy up, and he said, "I have to tell you," he said, "I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not the same man that, you know, I'm going to church." And he says, "I'd like to try to reconcile our differences." And she said, I can't believe it. She said, "I did the same thing. I've given my life to the Lord, and I'm going to church." And she says, I would be happy to see you." And she said, what happened to you?" And he says, "Well, you know, when we went to that hotel, I went to my room, and I opened a Gideon Bible, and God spoke to me, and I took it with me when I left." And she said, "I did the same thing. I took that Bible." God is moving. He wants to touch lives and draw people to Him. That's the whole reason that we are created and have our being and have our breath, to know the true and living God. And He uses His Word to accomplish that. It's truly wonderful. In Ghana last year, and you are familiar with Ghana, I talked to Mike. His mother is there, I understand. Isn't that right? Yes, praise God. And last year, the Gideons had a international scripture blitz, and that's where Gideons from the industrialized, wealthy nations band together and meet their brethren. Their Gideon brethren that are native to the land, and they pre-plan this at quite some length, and they ship in thousands of copies of God's Word, and then they get joined together in teams, and a Ghanaian and an American or a Canadian or a Brit or a German or whatever. Like I say, Gideons come from all over the industrialized world for these scripture blitzes. Well, last year they had a scripture blitz, and they went to the two largest cities, Accra and Kumasi, in Ghana, and they went to all the schools, the hospitals, the prisons, the military training centers, just every place that they could. And you know, it's wonderful. They went to over 770 schools, and when they go to a school in Ghana, the teachers say, "Come in." The principals say, "Come in." And they allow the Gideons to go classroom by classroom with their boxes of scriptures. And they pass out a Bible to every child. And they lead them through the steps of salvation. They pray with them. The children pray to receive Christ right there in the classroom. It is so exciting. It's just so wonderful. Oh, would to God that we could do that here in America, you know. So they went to all those schools and universities and all these other locations. In 10 days, they distributed over 440,000 testaments across various parts of Ghana, in and around the major cities, and occasionally venturing out into the country. One of the schools that they ventured, called a bush school because it's kind of out in those sticks, they arrived there. They were in a typical Toyota pickup truck, which is just all the all-purpose utility third-world vehicle. And they arrived at this little bush school, and the teacher came out there. It was a fairly small school, and he says, "Praise God." He says, "We've been praying that you would come." Isn't that wonderful? "We've been praying that you would come." He says, "We have no books in our school." He said, "We're going to have New Testaments, and we're going to use these to learn to read." Glory to God. Another of the teams went to a school in the city, and the way they worked it, there would be children that would volunteer because they've got these boxes of 100 Testaments, and they probably weigh, 15 or 20 pounds or something like that. And so they were recruiting children, volunteers, to carry the boxes as they went from classroom to classroom. And at the end of the distribution of this particular school, the Gideon that was there with the Ganon, they were all finished, and that little girl was standing there with this empty box, and she said, "Please, sir, what about me?" And he realized that she had missed, she didn't get one. And he says, well, "Wait." And he went out and looked in the truck, and there was nothing there. And they looked through the other boxes that were around, and there was nothing there. And he knew he didn't have one, and he finally reached in his pocket, and there was one more testament. "Please, sir, what about me?" And beloved, all over the world, there's children and parents and grown-ups that are saying, "Please, sir, what about me?" There is such a need for scriptures all over the world. In India, we've had to actually tell Gideons there to slow down, don't establish so many Gideon camps, because we don't have the scriptures that you need. And so we could easily distribute probably twice of what we're able to presently with the funds that we have. Last year, the Gideons worldwide distributed 77.5 million copies of God's Word. Since the Gideons were founded in 1898 by two men in Wisconsin, the Gideons have distributed more than 1.5 billion copies of God's Word around the world. They're distributed in more than 90 languages in, as you heard this morning, in 190 lands across the globe. It is a wonderful work. And this morning, I want to ask you to assist us in that work. I want you, first of all, to pray that every copy of God's Word produces much fruit. I want you to pray about what you can do for us as well. And consider, you men, if you want another calling. This is a great church, and you're busy, and you're working, and you're doing the kingdom's work. But if you want to reach out, consider joining us, or even just come by on Saturday morning for our Saturday morning prayer. Just ask me about that. Well, I'll just tell you, we meet at First Baptist Church at Lake St. Louis. We use their activity room for our prayer, and then we go out to breakfast. So if you want to pray with a bunch of godly men, come join us. But then I'm going to ask you this morning to give as you can, and I don't want your tithe money. And we don't want your missionary fund, and we don't want your building fund. We want your Walmart money. Amen. And we want that money that you're going to spend on a fat burger and a soda, you know. I mean, praise God. There's a lot of ways to give. And with this electronic age, it's almost too easy. You can go to our website, Gideons.org. That's it, Gideons.org. There, click on give. You can even sign up there to make a regular contribution. For example, a hotel Bible costs $5. A case of 100 of these testaments that we pass out around the world costs $1.30 each. $130 for 100 testaments. It is the world's greatest bargain when you consider the price of a soul. You can sign up to have $11 a month taken out of your checking account that go to the Gideons. That's $132 in a year. You'll never notice it. It's gone. No telling how many souls will be touched by those 100 testaments somewhere around the world. God is so good. I would like to thank you for this time, Pastor Vaughn, for allowing me to come here and share with you this morning. And I pray God's blessings upon each and every one of you. And thank you, and God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dan Benson. For those of you who don't know me, I've been a member of a Liberty Christian Church here for a while, and as a member of the missionary board, to fill in and follow what was just done. We heard about the 10,000 people coming to Christ in Africa. I want to introduce to you my daughter, Sarah Benson, who has played a key role in missionary work and people coming to Christ in Africa and Sudan. She has been there for the last 2 years as a medical missionary, as a PA, and she is going to tell you how that got there, what she's been doing, and what she's going to be doing in the next 30 minutes. She has a slideshow presentation for you that is very going to impact you and affect your lives greatly. And to not waste any more time, I want to introduce my lovely daughter, Sarah Benson.
Yesterday, I wore the other outfit that you'd wear in Sudan. This is the more traditional northern outfit, so I'm going to try and keep it on. I always wear the Dinka outfit. It's so much easier than this one. I won't be able to have my head covered, so please forgive me. In some of the areas that I lived in, because of the really high Muslim population, if we were to walk through the city without our head covered, somebody would come and like hit your head and be like, your head isn't covered, which is kind of odd. So many of you know me, and it's so great to be back. It's great to see all your faces again. It seems odd that I've been gone for 2 years, and yet it doesn't seem like really been gone for a few days, but a lot of the kids are a lot bigger than they were before. I've grown up in the church. I got introduced to Liberty through Teens for Christ. Started going to Teens for Christ when I was in junior high. Went to the, I don't know if any of you guys know the Stockdales or not, but I went to the Stockdales junior high meeting in their basement back in the day. Throughout my life, the Lord saved me when I was about 5 years old and gave my life to Him. And then throughout my high school career, the Lord started to really pull my heart and to tug my heart towards missions. I spent the summer at a Christian camp called Turkey Hill Bible Ranch Camp, where I started serving there. And one morning when I woke up, I was just overwhelmed by the thought of that my entire life, what I was doing there every day, was to serve God and to promote His kingdom. And I just loved that feeling of just living for God every day. And that was my whole reason for being. And that was in 1998. And then in 1999, God sent me to Quito, Ecuador. And it was there that I really felt God's call to go into the mission field. I lived with missionaries who had started a church in Quito, and I saw them live in and out with their church, and I thought, this is what I want to do. And God sent me to nursing school, and I did a lot better than I thought I would do. If you would have asked me when I was about 7 or 8 years old what I wanted to be, I would have told you, I don't really know, but I know that there are two things that I don't want to be, and that was to be a nurse and to be a missionary. And it's amazing how God can change your heart when you're willing to be changed. And how your dreams can be a lot bigger than you ever thought they would be. So God led me through nursing school. I went to Haiti, and I went to Nicaragua, and then God led me to Africa. And it was when I was in Africa that I really felt God's calling to go to Africa full time. And then I went to PA school, had a really good experience in PA school. It was very difficult, but the Lord got me through it. And then I went to Cameroon for a rotation in OB, and just God confirming more to go to Africa. And then after PA school, the Lord opened the door to go to Southern Sudan with an organization called SIM, Serving in Missions. And I'd like to be able to share with you all the stories and all the ways that God came to my rescue and in the ways that God worked. But if I told you every single story, we'd be here for days. But I will tell you that when I first got there, I knew that there was going to be difficulties and I knew there were going to be hardships. But I didn't really know how difficult things were going to be. I knew I would have no electricity. I knew I'd be living in a mud hut. I knew I wouldn't have any plumbing, and I was going to be cooking with charcoal. And our medicine and the clinic was going to be very basic. I knew these things were going to be difficult. But I didn't really understand all the difficulties that I was going to have to face. When I got to Africa in January 2008, and I don't know if you guys remember, right before I left, Kenya was kind of up in arms and things were difficult even in Kenya, and we were based in Nairobi, Kenya. And so I flew into Kenya in the midst of some turmoil there, and I have some friends, and I'd been to Kenya before, and so I saw the difficulties, and large areas of the city had been burned, and so that was very difficult. And so we fly back and forth in and out of Kenya in a small planes called caravans or 206s, and then we fly into Sudan. The team that I was with, we had one doctor. His name was Dr. David Masters, and he was kind of the leader of our team on the ground. And he had about 20 years experience in Congo as a missionary, as a physician in Congo. And he went out one morning to go and be involved in one of the villages called Gazmala, about 5 miles by bike. And he came back and was sick. He had diarrhea like a lot of people get. And within 12 hours, he died. We don't know what happened. Had something happen within his gut. And then 1 month later, one of our planes that flies in and out with 4 of our missionaries and 1 missionary pilot went down in on our runway in Sudan. It got up into the air and hit a baobab and crashed. But by the grace of God, nobody died. And all those missionaries are back in the field now. We had several floods, so there were food shortages. People were having to move in and out of their homes. There were a lot of difficulties, and that was all within my first 6 months to a year. And so I was like, oh. And then the second year, we had a lot of difficulties within the compound. I don't know if you've ever lived in a small community of people of all type A personalities, we're all very gung-ho. You have to be pretty gung-ho to do the kind of work that we do. And so sometimes it's easy to get on each other's nerves. And I learned a lot about keeping a short stick with people and really going to them when I have, you know, a problem. And learning to forgive was an amazing learning experience for me. So all these difficulties that we faced, I saw how easily distracted I could become from the things coming on the outside and then from within. And Satan's main goal is to really make us ineffective for the kingdom. And so these were the things that I could see that were coming at us and trying to distract us from the goal and distract us from the kingdom. But despite all these difficulties, we were able to do a lot. We were able to start a clinic and see 3,000 plus patients a year, plus being able to share the gospel with them. We were able to start and keep running with the BELT program, and we had our first graduating class with the BELT program. We were able to have now 3 years of the CHWs and be able to do. We also started, I don't have pictures of it, but we also started training the pastors and the elders of the churches. The church in this part of Douro has been around since the 1940s when the SIM missionaries first came. And so there is a big history of that. And a lot of the Douro people would call themselves Christian, but they don't even know the gospel. We had people come for Sunday school training who didn't know the gospel. So during our Sunday school training, we had the Sunday school teachers give their lives to the Lord. So I was a little, okay, good. So a lot of it's been lost. There is still a remnant, like Joseph that you saw, who know the gospel and who know their Savior. But they need discipleship and they need training. And then we're starting to do that as well. We have missionaries from Ethiopia. And one of the things I love about SIM is we're interdenominational, international. So we have Nigerian missionaries, Ethiopian missionaries, missionaries from all over Europe and the UK and Canada. And we even have missionaries from China, but they're not in Sudan right now. But we have one from Korea and some missionaries from India that are in Sudan. We're all working together, and they just bring so much dynamic insight to what we're doing. But one missionary from Ethiopia, Ababe, and then another UK missionary are training the pastors in this area, and it's really been really awesome. We're starting to reach out to another unreached people group in southeastern Sudan called the Komaganza people. They've only been introduced to the gospel in the past 4 years. They're very isolated tribe. They didn't even know that they were in the country of Sudan. They knew there was a war somewhere up north, but they didn't know why they were fighting or what was going on. So we're just starting to reach them. They're a very animalistic tribe. Haven't been influenced by the Muslims, which is great. And so I can share another story just to kind of give you I'll share you a quick story and then we'll go to the quick slideshow. I'm so like, timing. Anyway, I've lived for 2 years with no clock, and I haven't had a watch. So, yeah. Africa, there are no time. I really want to talk to you just a little bit about the spiritual life of the people. Again, we had a lady come to the clinic with terminal breast cancer who had come way too late. The picture, I took a picture of what she looked like when she came in. It was pretty bad. But she knew that she was going to die, and she knew that she was terminal. And, you know, obviously once the Khawajas can't do anything, obviously it must be it, right? And she was just, when we gave her the hope of the gospel, these people know, they know that there is a God. They know, they understand that there's something higher than they are. They offer, you know, they know they can't control the rain. They know they can't control the crops, the floods. They know they can't control these things, and they're at the mercy of God, and they know that they don't measure up. And they know that when they die, they will face judgment. These are things that they know. They know this. And they know that they need something else. And so when we tell them that they don't have to pay for anything, they don't have to give God anything, that he's already given them what they need through Christ. They react in an amazing way and very verbal. This lady, when we told her about Christ and what he had done for her, she threw her arms in the air and gave praise to God. And it was amazing, and willingly gave her life to the Lord. We gave her, most of these people are illiterate. They can't read. And the Bible is only Mabon, the language that I worked with. They only have the New Testament. They don't have the Old, and it's very hard to get a hold of. But we have these God pods, which are the Mabon language in a little machine that's solar powered, so they can put it in the sun. We have plenty of sun in Sudan. And you push the button and, you know, it'll give you the Gospel of John. And so she could listen to that before she died. I'd like to read one verse, one section of scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart. After I've been back, and it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll start in verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? We know that our time in Sudan is short. We know that war is imminent and that we will have to leave soon. And we must take each moment captive, and we must really make use of our time in Sudan. And that is true here, because we know that each of our lives are extremely fragile. That I was reminded of daily in Sudan. And I know that my time here is not very long when it comes to the grand scheme of things. And I must take every moment captive, and I must use it for the kingdom.
Awesome, isn't she, right? Sarah's one of my heroes, until I found out she eats fried goat liver. Okay. Because of time, you know, we need to go ahead and conclude the service. I wanted to just share a quick story, though. Everybody says quick. Did you notice when they're really running out of time? If we had a lot of time, I'd say I'm going to share a story, but it's late. I'm going to say I'm a quick story, which isn't really true. No. Anyway, I love to have the Gideons come because I share this every time they come. I have a little Gideon New Testament right here. Because of this New Testament, I got saved. The Gideons, many years ago, I won't say what year, it was AD though. The Gideons came to a local college campus. They stood there, handed out New Testaments. That's what they do. Hand out Bibles, New Testaments, portions of Scripture. They don't preach. They just give the Word of God out. Pray that God will use His Word. Well, that day, my brother was walking on the campus. They handed him a New Testament, put it in his pocket, didn't really think anything about it, went home, opened it up, and this is what he read. You ready? And Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." He finished the chapter, and you know what's in the chapter, where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world." The first chapter he reads in the Bible. First time he ever opened a Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He got on his knees and asked Jesus to save him. God uses his word. Amen. Here in America, here in O'Fallon, and all around the world. And what I love about the Gideons and having Sarah share today is that it expands our vision for the gospel. The gospel. God is alive, and God is working all around the world. He's working on local college campuses. He's working in Africa, South America, China, all around the world. God is working. Sometimes I think our picture of God gets confined to, you know, our little church or our little family or our little community. God's big, and he's alive, and he's working. And his word is powerful. His gospel is powerful. And so I'm just excited about what God is doing here, what God's doing around the world, how God is using people from our fellowship like Sarah to touch people literally on the other side of the globe. We've had mission teams go to different countries this coming spring and summer. We're going to have more mission teams go out, take the gospel, take the word of God, take works of mercy to people around the world. And it's very, very exciting about what God is doing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you are doing around the world. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true, your gospel is powerful, that it changes lives, it redeems families, it redeems communities. We thank you, God, for how you take your people and you send them around the globe with the gospel, that they'd be your hands, your feet, your hands of mercy, Lord, the beautiful feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace. We ask your blessing on Sarah's future work. We ask, God, your blessing on Bill and the Gideons and what they're doing around the world. God, we just want to join with you and partner with you with what you are doing. So, Lord, as we take this offering, use these gifts to further your gospel and your kingdom and your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.